Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. One announcement, that there are those who of you who want these applications for loans. There are the forms down here on the table. Those who would like the applications for the forms under the 5 and 5. If cancel that, we won't do it now.
Yes, sir. Glad to see you. Thank you. I haven't got an announcement about it.
With us, probably the number of commissioners we will have when we reach a report about 9 o'clock tonight, so we might as well get used to the crowd. Don't anybody call for a quorum or we're in trouble. No, wait a minute. What do we do when we haven't got a quorum? Are you ready to take care of all that? Because we're going to find ourselves right there before this is over. All right, where's Bob Allen?
Have you had your turn?
No, that's what I'm waiting for. Where's Robert Allen? He was here a minute ago. Oh, there you are. I want you to open this prayer. The assembly will come to order. I'm going to ask Reverend Robert Allen to open our afternoon session with prayer. Let us pray.
Dear Father, we come unto thee, and we realize there's much business left to be done. May we not take it lightly. May we not try to say any of it is not important. It is all important, and may we do all of it reverently and as unto thee. Now, Father, give us wisdom, give us humility, give us grace. Oh, Father, bring us together, and may everything that is done be done unto thee. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. When we recess, a commissioner was in the process of making a nomination. He had given the General Assembly the name of the man that he wanted to nominate, and having delivered himself of that name, he was then cut short. The name did not appear on the slide here, and I forget just who it was that the Frank Barker, who? Frank Barker had a name? No, it wasn't Oliver Smith, but I thought it was someone Barnes. Bryson? Who? Evan? David Bryson, where from? From Louisiana. And I believe it was to take the place of Kennedy, is that correct? Would you... Henry Holt, would you come up here and handle this machine for us? Commissioners, we'll look and see. You will see at the top that we have 3 names, and below that we have 5. We are at a point where the last 2 of 6 nominations are being made to the Covenant College Board of Trustees. And the two names of the committee are those of Kennedy and Settle. And for these two names, others have been nominated. We're going to begin at the bottom of the list with Martin Smith and work our way upward in relation to the nomination of Ms. Settle. Our commissioner is aware of what we're doing. All right. On the bottom list, if you will support, here's the way to do it, my brother. Keep that right there so they'll know which one it is. All right. Who's yelling? All right. Turn that mic around so I can see
him. Yeah, he's got me cut off. I'm Alan Long from Louisiana Presbytery. I think the Reverend Mr. Bryson was nominated in the group under Settle instead of Kennedy.
My brother, it's your opinion against mine at this point until Frank Barker comes in. Can anyone certify what Frank Barker had in mind? Yes, sir. Microphone 6. I can't say what Barker had in mind, but I want to substantiate what the gentleman in number 14 just said. That's 2-1. I'll put his name down. All right, you put his name under Smith and erase it up there. You put Bryson right there, yeah. Bryson right there. I just want a line to it up there. All right. At the bottom of the page, we will vote first on Mr. Bryson, then on Smith, Clark, Ortiz, Nicholas, and Sutter. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Bryson, let me see your hands. Down. Those of you who support the election of Mr. Martin Smith, let me see your hands. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Clark, let me see your hands. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Cortez. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Nicholas. Down. Those of you who support Mr. Settle. Down. I'm going to rule that Mr. Martin Smith is elected. For the other nomination, we have two names. Microphone 6. Important test to be removed from the other nominations has already been elected. Now, where are we? We have one name up there that seems to be a consensus. The name of Dr. Kennedy is before us as the other nominee. Without objection. Dr. Kennedy is elected. So, Kennedy and Smith constitute the last two in the slate of 6. And the trustees to Montefiore Covenant College have been elected. Mr. Chairman, what do you have next?
Mr. Moderator, we have nominees for the Committee on Conference Guide, which are Pat Williams and Lawrence D. Johnson, Jr.
Are we to elect two? Page 617. Will you go through that again? This is the class of what?
Moderator, I'm not sure just how this came about. This is something that the committee transacted after we arrived at the assembly, but
I take it we need a class of 19 and something because we had 81, 82, and 83.
just a minute. Speak to us, General Sanders, can hear you. Mr. Moderator and fathers and brothers, the committee's commissioners recommended that there would be a board established and that they would be divided into three classes, as you'll find out at the lower part of page 617. And we were asking for the insertion of a teaching elder in the class of 1982, we did suggest to them four names, teaching elders. All right, now you propose two for election? You're proposing two for Senate to select one? Mr. Moderator, we have another seat that is dealing with the Board of Trustees for the Conference Center, but I understood this to be two different nominees. In other words, we've got Pat Williams and Lawrence Johnson for the committee on conference side, and then we've got six names, that is nine names, and divided up in three different classes for the Board of Trustees for the Conference Center. Here is the proposal for the site on our paper. Is that the same thing for the center? That's all there is. All right, you have given us two names, and I'm going to read it. We're going to vote between them. No? Mr. Moderator, the chairman has proposed two ruling elders, and we need a teaching elder in the class of 1982. They do have a name here right to suggest. All right, wait a minute. The committee has proposed two ruling elders. Now, you're taking the liberty of telling the committee that it has a teaching elder? Mr. Moderator, I'm taking the liberty of saying that the committee is wrong. They don't need to propose two ruling elders, but they do need to propose one teaching elder. That's all you can say to the committee. Now, Mr. Committee, what do you want to do? Mr. Moderator, we have in hand a recommendation that these classes be as follows. For the Board of Trustees for a conference center, class of 1981, Paul Settle, Ken Pies, and Doug Cotton. Class of 1982, Wayne Rogers, George Gully, and Alex Kellerman. Stop right there. You're proposing the name of the Reverend Wayne Rogers to the class of 1982,
yes,
which is on page 617 in your handbook. Mr. Wayne Rogers is in nomination. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator Tom Cook from Mississippi Valley. 81, 82, 83, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83 is involved here.
No, sir, we're not going to begin testing until 81. Until 3 years. But they won't begin functioning until you subtract 3 years from 81. Mr. Wayne Rogers is in nomination. I do not see the floor. Anyone seeking a mic to make a further nomination? Mr. Rogers is elected. You have any further business, Mr. Chairman?
The class of 1983, Rep. Sanders, Pat Williams, and Charles Wolf.
They're already there.
They're already there. Well, Mr. Moderator, I have to plead ignorance on this that was brought before the committee on
it's a mistake.
Well, apparently there's some misunderstanding, and I'm not sure just what it is. The Committee on Conference Side with Pat Williams and Lawrence Johnson, I do not understand. This is discussed and explained to me three times, and I still don't understand it.
It's a mistake. So you don't have to understand it.
Mr. That's Moderator?
Yes, sir.
There is one other thing that I would like to bring before the Assembly, and that is relative to the biographical forms that are submitted by the Presbytery. The committee felt that there was a great deal of confusion and a lack of understanding because of the poor handwriting that was on the biographical form. It was very difficult to decipher the handwriting, and therefore we are asking that, recommending that the future biographical forms be done interpreted and also typewritten, or at least printed very legibly. This, I think, would expedite the work of the committee when they meet for further consideration. All right, the committee is stating that in the future, if biographical forms are illegible, that's your problem, and not the committee's problem. Are you finished with your report, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I finished my report, Mr.
Moderator. Is there any reason why it shouldn't be made as a whole?
Mr. Moderator, let me ask. He has that matter about the typewriting and so forth as a motion. Does he want that approved by the Assembly as an instruction? Is that what he's meant to
do? Yes, we'd like to have that, Mr. Moderator.
Is it written there? It's in the handbook.
It's in the handbook.
Part of that printed report.
Oh, in the printed page, 1307. All right, we would consider this a separate motion. Do you see it? Is there any objection? It is so ordered. No, is there any objection to adopting the committee as a whole?
No, sir.
Back at microphone 8.
Got a sound down the table. According to the minutes of Warrior Presbytery, there was a memorial service there for C.E. Hornsby Sr. of Venable, what's the date on this one, please? January of this year. Mr. Hornsby is a member of the Board of Trustees of the Income Community Fund, so that would seem to need another nomination for that.
I ask the commission at microphone number 8 to get on a long-distance telephone and to certify, and that is what he has done. So, Mr. Hornsby, class of 1979, page 1303, trustee for annuities and pension annuities, Mr. Hornsby has died. And someone with expertise in the area of finance and investments and that sort of thing is urgently needed on the committee. I'm speaking out of turn from the chair at the same time. We need nominations for this position, class of 1979, microphone 13.
Oh, Mr. Moderator, if I started something here, I didn't intend it. I had Chris Horton of Allison from CEC Homes. I know nothing about Mr. Hornsby. He may be alive as far as I know, but I am confused.
I'm telling you that I asked the commission to call on business, and he did.
Microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place the name and nomination name of J. Edmund Johnson, Jr., trust officer of the Deposit Guaranty National Bank, Jackson, Mr.
J. Edmund Johnson, Jr.
Excuse me, microphone 8, I apologize, sir. Were you going to make a nomination?
Yes, sir, but Dr. Patterson just made my nomination.
He did.
Microphone 14.
I have a question. Is the slot we have to fill a teaching elder?
Can be anybody.
Can be anybody?
I move that. The request is that someone who is an expert in the area of finance, investment, and the like.
I would move that nomination to close and this person be nominated by affirmation.
Microphone 5.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to place a nomination in the name of reading card of Neil Hamm, Central Georgia Press.
Neil,
H-A-M, N-E-A-L, H-A-M, Central Georgia Press, the very president of Central Bank.
You see two names on that screen. We will vote between these two names. Those of you who support the name of Mr. Hamm will raise your hand. Diane, those of you who support Mr. Johnson, raise your hand. Mr. Johnson's elected, huh? I believe that completes your committee's report.
Yes, sir. Mr. Moderator, did you ask to find that most on the...
Yes, we did.
All right, then. With that in mind, I move that the report be adopted as a whole, if that's the proper motion.
Second, be adopted as a whole. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. There are two commissioners in the General Assembly
He will polish the floor of this. You have something further?
I just wanted to thank the General Assembly and your indulgence, sir, in the process of giving this difficult report.
There are two commissioners of the Assembly who have polished the floor at this time for moves involving reconsideration. Are those commissioners present? Microphone 5.
It's not only our move that we rescind our action taken on item number 1, recommendation number 1 on page 1609 of the handbook relative to our action on abortion.
If I got it, where do you find it? Where do you find it? Page 1609, recommendation number 1, report on abortion, move to rescind the action taken.
And this matter, the rules which read that this requires a two-thirds vote of members present or majority of the voting of the entire membership unless previous notice has been given.
Two-thirds of those present. Do you have a second? Can you give us reasons?
Yes, you may argue.
Mr. Moderator, I do so from my point of view only because at the point when the report of the Committee on Abortion was to be adopted as a whole, a brother who wished to bring up a further matter was not allowed to do so. And I thought at the time that he was cut off because the moderator, then serving, who shall remain nameless since he told us we could not use names on the floor, I thought he misunderstood the brother. And the man was not allowed then to bring up further action on that item number 1. I thought that we were unfair to him and thought we should, to be fair, I wanted to reconsider, but it's too late to do that, to extend the action so that we can consider his desire. Too late to reconsider, but not too late to rescind. And that's the reason for the specific motion. Microphone number 8.
Mr. Moderator, said my Tennessee Valley Secretary, if it is in order, I wish to debate the motion.
You may.
Fathers and brothers, I appreciate your concern that some may have thought that there were things they couldn't express, but I believe we have taken the only position that is possible from God's word on this issue. If we rescind, it could only be to weaken our position, and if we weaken the position in any way, then we have the problem that either the unborn child is not in fact a child, or we have the problem that we are saying that there are times when it is justified to take the life, or rather, that there are times when we have to choose between two evils, and we are in fact required to commit a sin. Because this would say that there are times when we are committed to take the life of a person. So I don't see any other position possible. I don't think we need to reopen it. Thank you.
That's very clear. I vote in favor of Mr. Sellers' motion to rescind for the following reasons. God's Word tells us to hold in tension many truths. All of throughout the scriptures we've studied, we are called to hold in tension many aspects. We can't find often a straight black and white answer to a lot of things that we'd like to, for instance, in the issue of Rahab. She's a prostitute at the same time God commands her. I don't see how this assembly can vote to consciously say that all of the men of this assembly must allow their wives to perish where they in the hospital having to make a decision on this issue. By passing this motion, they're saying that we would violate the Sixth Commandment if we told the doctor to save our wives' lives if you had a choice between the wife and the child. I am conscious to not obey the court in this matter.
Microphone 12.
Still more staff, more judge, best to ask speak for the motion. The one thing that in the committee report that I'd like for us to consider again is that in abortions there can be no exceptions. All abortions are out, including that for if the mother's life is in danger in some way or another. And the committee gave us the reason that some people hold that you could protect the mother's life in self-defense. The baby at that point becomes an aggressor on the mother's life, and the mother may be protected. The committee said that was illegitimate reasoning, because in Scripture, only those aggressive acts which are intentional, willful, and purposeful call for self-defense, a principle for which they gave no scriptural support. If the only time we can protect ourselves legitimately is when there is intent to kill on the part of the aggressor, we may not protect ourselves from a man with a brain tumor who's totally insane at a point with no intention to kill us, and yet assaults us. We may not protect ourselves against a distempered dog if it should attack us to kill us without any intent to kill. In Scripture, the aggression is not limited by intention. We may protect ourselves against any who would do a thing.
Point of order, Mark 47.
It's not a GP, so there's perfect. I believe the commission is out of order. He's debating the merits of something that is not before the assembly at this time.
He is debating the propriety of rescinding.
He's debating a question which has already been settled by the assembly.
I have difficulty understanding how we can decide to rescind or not to rescind unless the substance of the matter is late.
Excuse me, Mr. Moderator, the commissioner beside me has called my attention to something I was not aware of. I'm out of order.
You're very kind. Microphone 14.
Have a question?
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, the TV at the press box thinks that if you do this, then the floor is open if you want to make further motion about it. If you leave it, it would be just taken out of the record. Oh, no, it's just on the record. I'm going to show you at this point in the minute that it was rescinded. You'd probably make a note where it was done that was later rescinded.
The entire recommendation would, in effect, disappear without
Your floor would be open if somebody wanted to make a further motion about that same subject.
But the motion would have to be discussed. No, sir. We're going to decide whether or not we want to vote. The call has been made for the question. If you are not good, I just see you running, and every time I see you run, I stop. If you're ready to call for the question, will you say aye? You want to talk some more? Say no. We are going to vote on the motion to rescind. Do you have a question at 12?
Mr. Moderator, I would like to make a request that we have prayer prior to voting. Considering this matter is so important.
That mercy is proper. Will you lead us in prayer? Let's say so. Father, we look to thy face and ask that you would lift our wisdom in accordance with thy will concerning this most important matter, a matter of perhaps life or death, concerning members of this assembly. We thank you beside a sovereign, great God who holds the balance of this assembly in his hands. So it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We will vote up your question. 7, procedure.
Von Hathaway gave Secretary on needed to the procedure motion that the method of voting be a majority vote of the entire membership.
And now you've got that, so you're going to choose on the side and raise it.
the assembly has a decision before it as to whether or not it would rather vote by two-thirds of those present or by a majority of the total enrollment. Now, the request has been made that the vote be by a majority of the total enrollment. If this is voted down, we will take two-thirds of those present.
As we see the figures, we have 553 reported to us as being enrolled, and it takes 282 to pass this. Then if you go with the majority, that's the majority of all those enrolled.
This is a parliamentary maneuver. And if you care to vote
on this amendment to rescind number 8, and if it loses, the one stands as passed by the General Assembly.
Right.
It's not a vacant.
Okay.
Okay. That is almost a debate.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You have a question?
No, sir, I have a point of order.
Point of order.
I wish to call for the end of the day.
You might go call for the order to do in the middle of the vote.
The
question's already been called for in the vote, and the procedure motion is how we're going to vote. And the request has been made that it be by a majority of the enrollment. And if this is voted down, the vote will be by two-thirds of those present.
I just accept that as being possible.
All those who support the procedural motion, hold up your hand. Down. The opposing procedural motion. Procedural motion loses. We shall vote by two-thirds of those present. If you wish to rescind, will you hold up your hand? Down. If you do not, then you hold up your hand. The motion is still is lost. And the report on abortion remains as is. So as a second commissioner, he was asking, for an opportunity for reconsideration. But I'm going to have to recognize the call for the order of the day. And see if that's what the assembly wishes before you are granted the floor, Mr. Allen. This is called. You can't even get vote on it. The order of the day has been called, Todd. I'll come back to you after the order of the day, if you're still in the city of Grand Rapids. You still have to sign your name to motion if you want to make them. The order of the day is the report of a special judicial commission cases process. Chairman Williams, please. This is being distributed. Did somebody get the moderator a cup of coffee? Commissioner Rice reports to the city that you need to look at pages 52 and 53. You look. 52, the complaint by individual members of the section of Westminster Presbyterian Church. You think you got to pay the cash?
Mr. Moderator, while the decision leaves, I have a number of announcements that are delayed in making at the lunch hour, and I'd like to go ahead and try to get started with this.
All the temporary clerks, after they finish this distribution, are to stop and meet with Mr. Frank Smith here at the front of the room about the way in which you would file your expense account. The Permanent Committee on Mission to the United States, with the newly elected members, are invited to meet in the lounge to the right at the end of the nominating committee report with the assembly's permission. I think what it means is this room to the rear. On admission to the U.S., all the newly elected members with the others to meet together.
The Committee on Christian Education and Publication still has some openings at the PCA Family Conference on July 10th. We'd invite any of you who could just come there to register. And then they say the bookstore will close at lunch in case you want something before then. So that's been done. The Grace Presbytery asked to be excused to meet. I would assume they would not want to be excused during this Judicial Commission report, but let me suggest we excuse them immediately after this Judicial Commission report. All right, there's the chairman.
Mr. Moderator, we have already met.
Right, but don't read that. All right, thank you.
You ready, Mr. Chairman? I won't read anymore. John, you ready?
All right,
the audit.
The judge, Mr. Stevenson.
Let me say something, Father, then.
There's still some people that don't have it. You raise your hand and you clap your gun, say you.
Let me say,
let me remind you that
this Judicial Commission of this Assembly is an appellate court,
and according to the Book of Church Order,
is bound by the record in the case. It's to say,
you have no opportunity to
take evidence and etc.
You're simply reviewing the record in the case to see whether or not there is error. The commission asked me to say to you that in reviewing the record, we found a number of things that, if we had had the proper evidence, we might have answered in a different way. But we were bound by the record of the case we heard. Now, our
judgment is based upon
the appropriate
Book of Church Order provisions
relating to this.
A Book of Church Order 15.3, which has to be the appointment of a commission,
the way that you like,
and basically to submit a full statement of the case and the judgment rendered, and it's up to the Assembly to accept this judgment or reject it. And also, if you are interested, the applicable Book of Church Order provisions relating to our hearing, Chapter 44 dealing with complaints, Section 44.1 through 45.4, and the applicable sections of the PA, which is 43.4 through 43.11 of the Book of Church Order. All our cases, the judgment is Leavitt L. Allen, Jr. et al., the members of the session, members of the session, that's not the first one, that's not the Tennessee, as complainant. Thus, the Tennessee Valley Territory is responded in the General Assembly of the Territory of North America. The statement of fact. The pertinent fact, which are without dispute, are as follows. On April 9, 1978, Pastor Petillo, the Westminster Territory and Church, took the entire worship service to deliver a dissertation on your pastor's concern. See, this statement calls for a rotation system of offices, among other things, and suggested the method by which the congregation could petition the session for a congregation meeting for the purpose and provided the petition for members to sign for this purpose. On April 12, 1978, a petition signed by 25% of the members were presented to the session, requesting the calling of such a congregation meeting for April 30, 1978. The session refused to call the congregation meeting to the field of Tennessee Valley Territory for assistance. On April 13, 1978, Wallace Driscoll, a community member of Westminster and a member of the session, filed a complaint with the state church that responded to the church, asking the session be required to call the congregation meeting. On April 13th, same day, the state church, after the constitution of the conference for a call meeting of the church with Julie Merck, noticed this call meeting for April 22nd, 1978, Press notices were postmarked April 14, 1978. Six. On April 22, 1978, the call meeting of the Respondent Territory was held. Pastor Petillo attended the meeting, participated in the debate, and voted on the complaint. Mr. Wallace Driscoll also attended the meeting, as commissioner from Westminster Church, participated in the debate, although he abstained from voting on the complaint. The Respondent Presbytery ordered the session of Westminster Church to call such a congregation meeting to act on certain issues of the petition. On April 27, 1978, complainant hearing filed a complaint against the actions of the respondent presbytery. Statement of the issue. One, did the respondent presbytery give the required 10 days notice in advance of the call meeting? Two, was it proper for Wallace Briscoe, the complainant in the court below, the citizen member of the court deciding the complaint? Three, was it proper for Pastor Patillo, a member of the session against whom the complaint was filed, the citizen member of the court and participate in the court's decision on the complaint? Four, did respondent presbytery mandate the institution of a rotating system for officers when it ordered the calling of the Catholic congregation meeting? Those are the four issues that the complaint set before. Our explanatory opinion. One, on notice of call meeting, a presbytery, the Book of Church Order, Section 14.9 states, notice of a special meeting shall be sent not less than 10 days in advance. It is the opinion of this commission that notice shall be considered as sent when it is postmarked by the U.S. Post Office, and that in advance means 10 days prior to the date of meeting. Thus, in this case, the notice is postmarked April 14th, and the meeting is called for April 22nd. On such postmark, the earliest day that a meeting could have been held was on April 24th. Thus, the required 10 days notice was not given by the respondent presbytery. Two, on participation by complainant Wallace Briscoe and Pastor Patillo in the call meeting of the respondent presbytery, the Book of Church Order 16.3 speaks to the matter of service on a judicial commission. As follows, such a commission shall be appointed by the court from its members other than members of the court from which the case comes up. The respondent presbytery did not appoint a judicial commission to hear the complaint, but heard the sum of the commission as a whole. We believe the above stated principles apply. The complaint is against the session of Westminster Church. Both Wallace Briscoe and Pastor Vitillo were members of that court from which the case comes up, in court. Therefore, it is improper for either of them to be voting and participating members of the court to hear a complaint about a lower court of which they are members. Also on this issue, the other appeals of honor, which had been adopted in the years of following and proceeded by the Supreme Court today, is out on Section 44 as follows. Abstaining from voting on a question of direct personal interest. No member should vote on a question in which he has a direct personal interest or pecuniary interest, not common to the other members of the organization. In good. We are of the opinion that Pastor Patillo has such a direct personal interest that his voting upon the complaint is a violation of the rules. Three, we do not feel that the respondent presbytery mandated the institution of a rotating system for others. And our Book of Church Order, our local church, may make its own decision relating to a rotating system of officers. All that the respondent presbytery did was to order the session to call a congregation meeting for the purpose of allowing the congregation to make its own decision on this matter. The Book of Church Order 26.2 provides, quote, the session shall always call a congregation meeting when the question arises to be so by one-fourth of the community members of the church, end quote. This constitutional requirement having been met, the session has no option but to call the congregation meeting. And the respondent presbytery was correct in ordering the session to comply with the Book of Church Order and call the meeting. The respondent presbytery did not mandate the institution by Westminster Church of the rotating system for officers, the proper call for a congregation meeting so that the local congregation might make that decision. Judgment. It is therefore ordered that a judge, as Mr. Bell should have to be in it, a judge in the case by the judicial commission as follows. One, that the specification of error that the respondent presbytery did not give 10 days notice of its call or special meeting be sustained. Two, that the specification of error that it is improper for complainant Wallace Briscoe to sit and participate in the action by respondent presbytery on his own complaint be sustained. Three, that the specification of error that it was improper for Pastor Vitillo to sit, participate in, and vote in the respondent presbytery on a complaint against the court of which he was a member and in which he had a personal interest be sustained. Four, that the specification of error that respondent presbytery mandated the institution of rotating system of officers for Westminster Church not be sustained and is denied. Five, that in the Catholic Book of Church Order Section 45, 44, 5, and 43.8, this matter is amended to respondent presbytery with instructions to forthwith accept the complaint for hearing
after giving proper notice to all parties and take any appropriate action thereon. Then the 22nd of June 1938, all members of the commission concur or assisting no dissent is unanimous. We have an appendix. In the course of the hearing in this case, the commission observes certain improprieties and errors in judgment by all the parties to this court. Some of these could not be dealt with by the commission because there is then a person in the appellate court. But it is the present prayer of this commission that in the time intervening, before Tennessee Valley Presbytery meets again in compliance with this judgment, that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of all parties so that a reconciliation may be effected to the glory of God and the preservation of the witness of the Westminster Church. Mr. Moderator, I move that this judgment be accepted as the judgment of the General Assembly in this case.
The motion is that the judgment of the Judicial Commission be accepted as the judgment of the General Assembly and recorded in its minutes. I do not believe that debate is permitted on the motion. Mr. Moderator, we are not accepting the PCES on this. We do allow debate on it.
We do.
The PCES, as you know, simply allows no debate, only questions, and then they have to vote aye or nay. We did, when under the Constitutional Documents Committee, we did not feel that that was a good position, and it is up to the Assembly to accept it.
Motion has been made and carried to the second of the commission.
Are you seeking microphone 13?
All right. After the debate or whatever is taken, I would like to request to the court that because of the seriousness of this matter and the implications in it, that we stand for a moment of prayer for the hearing. Without objection, that will certainly be granted. Microphone 11.
Call question.
Question has been called for. Those who favor the recommendation of the judicial commission will please say aye. Opposed, no. Reverend B.I. Anderson, will you move to microphone 16 and lead us in prayer? 15.
Are we praying? Our Father and our God, we thank Thee that Thou art a sovereign God, Thou art all-wise, all-powerful, all-gracious. We thank Thee, Father, that when there is dissent in the body, He can seek solace from Thee, and Thy Holy Spirit will administer to us that which He likes. We pray, Father, in particular for this congregation in the pleaded that has been caused by these misunderstandings and deliberate actions. We pray, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit will administer to them that grace of forgiveness to each other, that they may together join hearts and hands to glorify Thy name and strengthen this part of the branch of Thy church. We thank Thee for the deliberation, the thought that has gone into this and the decision. And we pray now, Lord, that there shall be healing and that there shall be rejoicing as this part is brought together again to honor and glorify Thy name. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We are mandated to proceed to the committee on annuity and relief. As the chairman of that committee. Apparently, there was a delay in there. Recognize yourself.
The moderator.
The moderator. Fathers and brethren, for prayer. Let us unite together in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father,
we rejoice at an opportunity of service in our dear church. For the church has been bought with the dear blood of our only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our Father, give unto us great wisdom as we look into these matters concerning insurance. Give unto all of us patience, understanding, and even the wisdom of Solomon. Forgive us where we have sinned in our sight, O God. We make our prayer in Christ's name and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
We're giving them out. While he's giving those out, I will read a word or two from God's Word. Everyone needs to have in his hands the several pages starting with page number 309. Shall they be this in the Word of God? Psalm 116, just a verse or two. Starting with the first verse, Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me.
You are to read the report
through as rapidly as you can.
Rapidly.
Before anything else is done.
Right.
I beg your pardon. By correction of the General Assembly, you were permitted to call the attention of the General Assembly to each part and explain what is implied by that part and then go on to the next one without actually reading it, if you prefer. Page 309 is the report of the Committee of Commissioners concerning the Board of Trustees for the Insurance and Annuity Fund. The items that are listed A, B, C, D under number 1 involve the minutes of the Board of Trustees, November 11 of 77, January 27 of 78, March 31 of 78, and once since we arrived here on the scene, June 19, 1978. The report of the Board of Trustees is in the handbook, page 301-308. Audit report is in the handbook, page 123. Overtures number 28 and number 9. Only 2 overtures involved.
Not necessarily legal overtures.
Listen, that's the point. Just tell them that one overture has to do with paying the retired ministers to purchase of the solar, and the other has something to do with general insurance. The third paragraph of overture 28, I'm on page 309. Third paragraph. Whereas the funds collected during the Christmas season and at other times for ministerial annuities and the relief, and relief are not normally thought of as by the contributors as being given to provide travel funds, but rather to provide adequate retirement benefits for retired ministers for their normal day-to-day care and teaching. That's the 2-1 on the next page 310. It is moved to properly oversee the trustees of insurance to the General Assembly for a dumper insurance program for ministers and other employees, or myself, for the place I started. Letter number 2, page 310.
No, you can't.
Statement of issues discussed. A3J. Annuity program for ministers and employees. The regularity of seeking new bids for health and life insurance. New bids for health insurance. A fourth schedule to be added to the 3 present schedules of supplementary life insurance for ministers. Bids for beginning dental insurance program. Increases in the benefit formula of the Christmas fund. Procedures for handling requests for relief for ministers. Increases in annuity benefits for orphans. Congressional bills and legislation concerning federal regulation of such annuity and insurance plans. The recommendation of Mr. J. Edmund Johnson and Mr. Ray Matheson for nomination of the position of the Board of Trustees to replace Mr. Conard Best in the class of 1981, Mr. Secretary Hall in the class of 1980. Recommendation.
Third.
By the Board of Trustees. It should be noted that the recommendations appearing here are the same as those on page 302 in the handbook of the Board's report. Except for amendments made to recommendation number 1 and number 2 as reported in June 19, 1978, minutes of the Board of Trustees. 1. You're on page 311 at the top. 1. That the General Assembly approved the bid for health insurance for the period of August 1, 1978 to July 31, 1979. The policy. The old rates are listed in that first column, basic life, accidental death, and dismemberment, A, B, and D.
I could go back and get my mama
$5.30.
10 factor, 1.00.
The new rate of the Pacific Mutual Life Insurance Company Home Office, Los Angeles, California. Stays the same, $5.30.
Employees
now pay
23.77.
Under the old rate.
Under the new rate, 26.
And 86 cents.
$26.86.
Dependents, you're now paying $42.17.
The new rate, suppose
$47.65.
You notice the 10 factor
increase from 1 to
1.13, or 13%
increase.
The total that you're now paying, and you'll recognize the figure very rapidly, is $71.24.
You see the total listed there. Under the new proposed rate, it'll be
79.81. Medicare supplement health only
goes from $9 under the old rate column, the right-hand column,
$10.17.
The cost of basic life insurance for those over 65 years of age is 65 cents per thousand per month.
The per month is not shown there, but that's per month.
Point two. At the General Assembly, you see the bid for dental insurance without recommendation
and decide if the insurance is to be purchased.
Provision.
Annual maximum benefit of
$1,000.
Deductible. $50 deductible, calendar year deductible, not applicable to X-ray and cleaning of the teeth. Family deductible. 3 per family maximum per year. Basic dental. 100% of $14 schedule.
Major dental.
50% of $14 schedule.
Orthodontia,
paid at 50% of the usual, customary, and reasonable, up to 1,000 lifetime maximum per person. The following rates are contingent
on all participants in the health insurance program enrolling for dental insurance.
Single employee, 570,
dependent unit 1331,
total $19,
1 cent.
For a partial schedule of dental procedures in the
hospital. Per month.
$19, 1 cent. 1 cent per month.
That would be in addition
to the basic upper bag of your health insurance program.
Yes.
For a partial schedule of this,
it's on page
appendix 1, page 315 and 316, which is attached to the back, as that which is handy to you.
Point three.
That the General Assembly approved amendment number 2 to the annuity fund for ministers.
Point four.
You're now on page 412. That the General Assembly grant the ministers permission to publicize within the church their recommendations regarding several bills now pending before the United States Congress. These bills are H.R. 11162, H.R. 11164, and one other still being drafted.
B. Recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners.
1.
That recommendation number 1 above be adopted, the vote is 11 to nothing.
Because the underwriters are much more agreeable to underwrite a policy for a 12-month period, a 1-year period, than they are for an 8-month period because of forecasting difficulties. This point has come about because of the assembly is not held the same month or the same year.
2.
That recommendation number 2 above be rejected at this time.
And the proposed general insurance plan be returned to the Board of Trustees for studying possible recommendation to a future general assembly.
Vote 12 to nothing.
Because,
A. The dental plan requires 100% participation on the part of all persons presently covered by the health insurance plan, and a large percentage of these most likely would not be interested in this coverage.
B. The increase in health insurance premiums this year will probably discourage
100% participation in this proposed dental plan.
3.
That recommendation number 3 above be adopted. Vote 11 to nothing.
Because
the monthly benefit for orphan children for $25 per child up to 3 children in a family is wholly inadequate.
4.
The recommendation number 4 above be adopted. The vote is 11 to nothing.
5. That the General Assembly return to the formal procedure of obtaining new bids for health and life insurance,
leaving such action
to the judgment of the Board of Trustees
to seek competitive bids at least every 3 years.
Vote 11 to nothing. Because,
A. The Subcommittee on Insurance has found from experience that obtaining new bids each year from the insurance industry may earn our denomination a reputation as a policy jumper.
or make a difficulty to obtain coverage of any kind.
B. The Subcommittee on Insurance has also found that frequent charge changes from one insurance company to another mean continual administrative difficulties and necessitate the timely rewriting of a policy book. Indeed, the Presbyterian Church in America has been without a policy book for 18 months until this very month, and you should have received that in the mail in the last 30 days. Six, that the General Assembly grant a 3% good experience credit for the ministers in the early fund and for the lay in the early fund for the years 1977 and 1978. Vote 12 to nothing. Seven, that the General Assembly grant to overture number 28 on page 309 in the affirmative. 11 to nothing is a vote. Eight, that the General Assembly reject overture number 9, page 310. Nine, that the General Assembly request the trustees for insurance and annuity fund to seek a bid from the present carrier for an additional coverage claim of the supplementary life insurance policy. Inside your little blue book that you received in the mail, you have Plan A, B, C listed on that page. The proposed addition just grants an opportunity to pick up additional term insurance. This is still protection, by the way. That's Plan D, the final column on the right. That being new, $40,000 if you're age under age 50, $24,000, 55 to 59, 50 to 54, 55 to 59 age bracket, $17,200, 60 to 64, $11,200. It's the final column that is the proposed option if you want to pick that up. It makes it available.
Are you ready for the recommendations which appear on page 312? Microphone 11, before he begins, you have a question or something?
Oh, procedural motion.
Procedural motion, microphone 11.
I bet about you, I said I'd like to know if the moderator will accept the motion to accept this report as a whole.
That is a motion which is appropriate.
I shall move.
Motion has been made from the floor that this report be adopted as a whole. If this motion prevails, then the vote will not take into account any serious objections that appear at any single point without defeating the motion as a whole. Do the commissioners understand that? The procedural motion is before us. We're going to talk to the procedural motion. Microphone 10.
Mid-speaker,
can
I speak in favor of the procedural motion?
You can speak in favor of the procedural motion.
Okay, I am in favor of the motion. The effect of the motion would be that we would be adopting increased health insurance rates effective August 1st, $32.16 a month for the single employees and $79.81 a month for the employer and his family. The effect of the motion also would be that we would not add central insurance coverage this year. And I think that's the way to send it out of vote, and I support this motion. Adopt it all.
That was pretty sneaky, ladies. Number 15.
Second.
Ms. Meyer, Honey Becker, North Georgia, the Presbytery, would the effect of this point mean that we could not ask questions about the...
No. You can debate the whole thing any way you want to, but the point is from the vote taken, it would be one vote, and then if there's something in the middle of it that you didn't like, you're out of luck, because the one vote would cover both yes and no for the whole thing. Yes, sir.
It's not really a procedure.
He's correct. It's not really a procedure. It's just a motion from the floor, which is a main motion as any
other. The whole thing is on the floor for debate. And I apologize to the speaker for my class of remarks. It wasn't intended to be that.
Yes, sir.
Microphone 11. Much matter every time like it is on the Presbytery. I believe it'd be appropriate to stack out recommendation number 7 from this report in as much as it's not has already been honored by the report on the committee on administration.
Well, wait a minute. It may not be a procedural motion, but we still have got to vote on it before we take up the report itself in detail. The motion is that we vote on the report as a whole. Now, wait a minute. If we vote aye, we will be showing that we are going to vote on the report as a whole, but it does not necessarily mean that we are adopting it by that vote. Would you read your motion again, please, sir?
Let me have it.
Correct. I move that the report of the Committee of Commissioners be adopted as a whole. That is correct, and consequently, the details are under debate. Tom, you want to say something else?
Mr. Moderator, I'm not sure. Have we answered it differently by another option? If we answered the same way, we'll hope for it to appear in the record both ways.
Microphone 6, wait a minute, you've spoken more. Microphone 6. Good,
Moderator.
That's correct. Get it right. We did act on this in your fingers last night.
He's
lying me a little bit because I knew it came out in front of me, but it's a piece of cake.
Mr. Moderator, Henry Becker, North Georgia Depository. I have a question on recommendation number 5, and I would like to know what this implies. Does this mean that every 3 years we will seek competitive bids, and is this a wise thing to do? Realizing that any company can make a competitive bid for a one-year program, but the problem comes after that. I bet you had an experience of that in the past, if I'm not mistaken. I would just say to Dan Moore, who's with the people on this, the deal on this is that he has the freedom to do it, because he bids any time he wants to. But the last year's assembly required us to seek bids every year. And that, when we have a reasonable bid in the current, from our current area, going out every year is an undue burden. My concern is that any company can get a very competitive bid for the first year, but what happens after that? Do they increase it then the following year? If we were in that situation, when we got in peak for 1 year and he did the second year, we would have the freedom to keep bids at that time. Thank you. I understand that it's permissive and not mandatory. Mr. Leffin, microphone 11. Evangel Presbyterian actually the court should have said nevertheless the trustee shall speak compared to bid. And actually and I think it's pathological that it wasn't done that. In other words, it's not optional that they never speak a competitive bid. The committee of commissioners handled it in a way that they would be required to speak compared to bid at least every 3 years. That is not the way the report reads. Well, if you want to turn a motion, so I can correct it.
You just going to make an amendment to this report as any point you want to.
Okay, I would move that in paragraph 5, that following the word trustees, that we had nevertheless, the board of trustees, so it shall speak in case it did at least every 3 years.
You got to write that out.
Well, you're writing it out.
Recommendation number 5 is being amended. Do you have a second? You guys have a second. Microphone 32.
Mr. Moderator, I keep it jump.
Just motion.
My own bad job is that young in
the ministry office. Remember, I have asked health insurance and some disruptive
duty set.
And it is simply bad business
to be what
is referred to as an insurance
copy.
You develop a reputation in the industry
as undesirable.
You part of the provision here,
if it's necessary,
to
force a pardon
I'll grant that information, you know, that responsibility is
bad from their point of view, but it's
bad from the insurance company, the insurance point of view. I hope we just won't get into this.
And this matter of just as a matter of editorial freedom, I would trust that I could change the language, say, on number 8, that the General Assembly answers over to number 9 in the negative rather than the language to object. I've seen that so that the freedom is given to the case.
You have that freedom. Are you sticking to the amendment? My point can.
This matter of order, I believe that it's certainly reasonable to request the trustees to keep some part of the bids every 3 years. That doesn't move to partners. It just means keep specific rules for honor. And I have no objection to this amendment. I support it.
It then a bit on the amendment. Do you need to know what the amendment is about? The amendment would mandate the trustees to keep contested bids every 3 years. The present language permits without
such a mandate.
If you say that the amendment, then you say aye. Opposed, no.
Aye.
If you say that the original,
then you say aye.
Opposed, no. The report is a whole continues to do the fair.
Dr. Ferris says T. Call for the trustee, sir. Just has been called for the report as a whole. Unamended.
Are you ready to vote?
If
you are ready to vote,
then you say aye.
You want to talk
to more, say no. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Take no.
That's a record for the Presbyterian Church in America.
Mr. Chairman, we thank you. I'm going to recognize
Reverend Todd Allen at microphone 11.
Mr. Allen.
11.
11. 11.
Okay.
Mr. Moderator, I would
like to request
that we reconsider the action on the vote for the 1979 General Assembly. Due to the fact I was talking with someone at the time the vote was taken, I can't say that I voted at all, but I heard several brethren who said they did make the motion with it in order to reconsider that matter.
To say the same is fair, Mr. Allen has in mind that this is by the speed that this set the charges in this set of things. If you are someone who voted in favor of the date
of the assembly,
and you could say that you did not,
and yet
you went to make that motion.
All right, let's hear it.
You want to move to reconsider? That's true.
Then
Washington Travis, so either move to reconsider or wrong along, caught on to the
yeah.
At least to hear what it's all about. You have a second?
He had his second.
Todd, let's hear that you have
a name. Do you need to vote on the motion
to reconsider, sir?
No, don't get past
it. It's the
data. It's the data. Both entities should reconsider not
to do the reason.
Well, I was going to move a motion on the return of the date thing.
No, you're talking about reconsideration right now.
Can I speak on why I want to reconsider?
Is that what you mean?
Yes. The only reason is that the dates that have been sought, as it is this week for this assembly, I have a vacation Bible school going on, and I have it going on too next week in my church. From a personal standpoint, it's involved a little hardship with my own wife, who has to work in the school, and I handle a lot of other problems with the family. This necessitated my being away if I was going to attend the assembly.
Now, the dates that they take in Bible school, I have found to my experience, is in about the middle term up to the end of June, before the 4th of July, are the best dates to go to start together to handle a vacation Bible school. When you get into July, and then even into August, it's more difficult, at least it has been for me, to secure staff. Vacations are going on. The best time, as I have seen, for vacation Bible school is at least about a week after school is out, or thereabouts, and then to get it done in June. So we have been having Bible schools at this time of year, and we'll be going on another week next year. Now, the assembly with me, the assembly goes up just 1 week, and the goes match up to June 11th to June 15th. This year enabled me to schedule a vacation Bible school after the assembly and have no interference whatsoever. It will also give time for, I guess, all schools in the country to have been dismissed from the regular schedule, so that there would be, I would think, no conflict on that school and others. And that would allow for programming in the local church that I don't think that's considered. And I didn't raise the point because I didn't know that we were not going to go back to the later star dose. I'm personally going to keep it in June, but I just would like to request that we be given consideration in this matter and leave the dose after 1 week. And I would appreciate that so much. And I know there are other brethren I've talked to. We have Bible schools going on also at this time, including some in our own area down there. And this would be very helpful, Mr. Moderator, and if this one over, I'd make that motion.
The term thought, I would like the maker of the motion of the first time, number 13. Mr. Moderator, I have really thought about being a senator in a 2-5 bill, but there is a factor that may not mean anything to the General Assembly in this, that in June, you're going to occupy motel rooms, dining rooms, or people and their family vacations you'd probably like to have. Maybe this doesn't matter to us. And you get there first and the first half of that. But I really feel that in some sense, as Christians, we ought to think about the fact that saving ourselves at this time, not very well inconvenient to many people. Whereas, serving it, doing it in September is not inconvenient to people not serving with God. It might be beneficial. Therefore, I say that you consider it. You are still to talk about whether you're daily reconsidered, not so true. Luke says, all of God, this nation be reconsidered on the basic principle that it's very wise to bring up matters that the assembly has discussed and settled at this point in the assembly. You're concerned about our failure collection in this kind of action, but there's not an opportunity to notice decision. And we must support the decisions we've already made. I'm against this nation and all similar motions.
And moderator will have to say, in the face of these letters, that they voted the floor long ago, and would not have voted until the decision had decimated the trust if they could have done so. Which is obviously the day that they voted. So I'll just say that in the face of the letters, they're making the motions. Not 26. Yeah.
Number 6.
6.
You haven't got a mic, you better get somewhere else. Number 5. Number 5. Somebody around here.
No, you got it.
Larry, you asked me to plot it.
Very briefly, I would like to oppose that in order to maintain our status
of the June meeting.
I have my family with me, they're camping and enjoying a delightful vacation time. That wouldn't be possible earlier in June when school is still on, or at the assembly time, as has been in the past in September. Many other men, I think, would enjoy this same opportunity to increase the opportunities for fellowship during the assembly.
Mark 12. If my old colleague, I think, to tell you, I'll tell you too, I'm going to be very closely associated with this, the fellowship that just left this town and place. It is almost, well, it would be a daily timeship on the fellows, and you might not be able to get that week. The vulnerability will tell a whole lot on it.
There's an awful lot of debate on whether to reconsider or whether not to reconsider.
It's not over there yet. Holy Mother, Evangel Text Day, I move for the question.
No. If you will vote on reconsideration, if you will take the hit, will you survive? Your customer for no. You are going to vote on whether or not you will reconsider. If you wish to reconsider, will you say aye? If you do not say no, we will not reconsider. We're going to complete the business of the committee on number of officers in the church. Number 32.
Lord, you hear our Father in prayer. You say, I have two motions that I heard to say this prayer. No, not to take care.
They pursue you.
One is, one is not. I made the decision motion first. And then
we'll what you got.
Okay. Now, in the beginning of quorum, before we begin with an evening service, and if a quorum is not used by 6:30, that the assembly of June and all unfinished business be postponed until the 1949 assembly.
But you're saying if it's already court meeting, then you do not have a quorum?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry, but I don't know whether we get back in at 6 o'clock. And if we're not back by 6:30, we're going to leave. And I don't know whether we get back to get the business done. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to keep talking throughout the night.
Well, I said you are supposed to reconvene at 6.
Yeah.
After recessing at 5.
Yeah.
If you don't have a quorum by 6:30,
you're leaving.
You're leaving. You have a second to your decision motion. You have a second. Well, I think you have a call right up to midnight. You're not going to have a call for about midnight tomorrow night. That's when you're still going to be here. Then it's over to vote on the procedure motion. If you support the procedure motion, then you say aye. Opposed, no. The procedure motion is adopted. That's the audience.
The other one is that last night, we did not accept the committee's recommendation, and then we did not accept my substitute for the overture and the 26th in private purgatory is on that ground.
Right.
I would like to move that the assembly would answer that in the negative.
Wait a minute. Because I came up this morning, and someone asked what would be the effect of it in a minute. Well, I'll do the ruling and nobody challenged the ruling. I'm going to say that you are trying to reopen that business.
I am not, sir. I am giving an answer to a question that in the minutes has no action, and it is perfectly legal to ask to make an answer on it of the assembly. If the assembly answers this in the negative, you just put answer in the negative. And it is in the following intervene, and it is a proclamation, it is an order.
You are reopening the business without committee.
That's the moderator.
Yes, sir. The motion made by me is that we report answer that there's no action.
Yes.
No, there's not any.
On the committee on this and over to that's adopted as a whole. You are moving to reopen the business for the committee on this and over to.
Yes, sir, do not think on. I think that Ryan has to do
it. Well, don't argue that, sir.
I'm not.
I was saying that that's what you did. Now, you can appeal to the assembly real quick to get it over
there. And I'm not appealing to the assembly to answer this in the negative. And all I got to do is let the moderator say, oh, I'm sorry, I just let you say yes to something in the negative and you're right.
God. I rule that you cannot do that. If a general assembly wishes to suspend the moderator, say aye. Opposed, no. You can't do it.
Mr. Moderator, please ask the assembly if you can open this business to give an answer to that in the negative.
All right, you want to reconsider the report as a whole.
Now, I want to reconsider that motion in order to put an answer to the negative in the minute.
You want to reopen the business without committee, is what you want to do, and do you have a second? Do you have a second?
Yes, you want to
use the water, Mr. Moderator.
From the moderator, you that no action had been taken, the words no action was proper, and said it's going to be answered just to send it to that overture. There it is.
Yes, Mr. Moderator.
So is it.
That part will be in a minute. No action is taken.
You have a second to the folks to reconsider. That's what we have. And he's already argued. And I'm going to pick the vote on whether or not he's going to reconsider the option if it's adopted that referred to her. If you want to reconsider,